Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
Very good morning to you. This is Dr. John Coben with Christian Worldview. Currently in Greenville, in the upstate South Carolina area, we have 58 or 57, 59 degrees, depending on where you're at. High, it will be in the upper 70s today and sunny. Should be a beautiful spring day today. Unlike that hot monster we had yesterday, that's what they claim anyway. Yesterday they claimed it would be about 85 to 86, 87 degrees. Ended up being in the mid-90s. That's typical for the way our weather service is here, it seems to me. But at any rate, today should be a much cooler day. And if you're looking for sunny skies, so should be a great day. We had a good meeting day yesterday. For those of you who had an opportunity to attend the Americans for Constitutional Government, you have to listen to seven people from the Indian tribes nation talking about some interesting features of life and in the political process, as well as a woman who had lived in Iraq and could had some comment. She lives here now, but she had been an Iraqi, talking about her experience there and here. A very interesting meeting. Also in the evening, had a great Institute on the Constitution meeting in Pelzer, South Carolina. This was meeting number 7. There's no meeting next week because it's Memorial Day, but the following week they'll be resuming that very excellent opportunity. There were some things that were disagreeable to some folks last night in the videos, as I understand it, but not to worry. There are always things that we disagree with in what we hear. And even in things which are generally good, we might disagree with. In fact, for some of you, you may even disagree now and then with the Tyranny Response Unit. Hard to believe, I know, but since it's so compelling what I say, as far as I'm concerned, that's hard to believe anybody would disagree with me. But nevertheless, I realize it could be true. It could happen that someone could have a minor disagreement here or there. And that's exactly what it is at the Institute for the Constitution. We have some relatively minor disagreements with some of the things that Dr. Eidsmo says, or has been saying on the video. Actually, early on, there was some major divergence from the liberty of conscience point of view and his perspective of what the state is and so forth. But since then, it's been a little bit easier on everybody involved there, whether they be from a Christian Reconstruction point of view or from a liberty of conscience point of view to accept. He tends to be more a theonomic person, I suppose, in his understanding of public policy, although there are times where you're listening to him and you're thinking, well, he's really just another divine right folk. At any rate, if you don't know what I'm talking about when I'm talking about divine right folks or revitalized divine right of kings perspective and theonomy or Christian Reconstruction and liberty of conscience, I suggest you go to our new webpage, which is tyrannyresponse.com. The tyrannyresponse.com website has a number of great links for you to go and find not only pictures about us and contact information about the network, but also some favorite products that are for sale, some of the events that happen around the upstate, and some of the people we support. In particular, we have the Times Examiner, we have the Institute for the Constitution, the various parties like the Libertarian Party, who's been a very faithful supporter, and the Patriot Network. Those are some things you're going to find out about when you go to the policy or to the tyrannyresponse.com website. Policy of Liberty is another good website to go to. We hope that you'll have a chance to do that. The policyofliberty.net website has books and articles on very interesting topics for the Christian faith, including a book, my recent book, Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, the little booklet on the four Christian views of public policy, books on allodialism and covenant marriage. You'll find there even a place now that you can press a button and donate to the show, and some people are wondering how they could do that. Well, right on the front page of policyofliberty.net, you'll find a little button there. If you can contribute $5 or $10 or $100 to the work of the Tyranny Response Network, this is an easy way to do it. Hope you all will take opportunity to do so. Well, today's stories are quite interesting, and we have announcements like usual. We have a lot of things going on today. One is the chicanery continues on Capitol Hill, of course, with the senators compromising on filibusters and judges. Lawmakers avoid showdown over Bush's controversial picks. Deal would clear the way for yes or no votes on some judicial nominee. You know, sometimes when you look at these things, you just think, you know, so this is just staged almost. I mean, the way these people run the show up in Washington, you don't find a lot of true debate from the true right and the true left here. What you find is a lot of power mongers just, you know, groping over some you know, bait or some little benefit they might get here or there. And so I'm not very impressed with Republicans in general, as you know. And Republican judges haven't done anything to stop abortion, that's for sure. They haven't done much to stop or promote much of the Christian worldview, as far as I can tell. Not that I want them to go out and actually install the Ten Commandments as the so-called law of the land, actually punish people for blasphemy and punish people for covetousness and so forth. No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that we need to just replace the secular humanist worldview with one which is more conducive with the principles of liberty, and which one with the Christian worldview can tolerate, because it has nothing offensive in it for the Christian worldview. I don't expect more out of the state, I expect a lot worse out of the state, but out of a pure limited government, I wouldn't expect anything more than that. Some people I know want to go further. Some theonomists eventually want to get to the point where government enforces the Ten Commandments, or some portion of them at least, depending on just how pure a theonomist one is, I suppose. If you have a question or comment for the show today, make sure you use our backup line phone number, 864-201-6955, 864-201-6955. Some people have been calling in and letting us know that they're having trouble hearing the signal in Greenville. We apologize for that. We want to make sure that everyone gets the chance to hear the signal, of course. I've been told by the Tyranny Response Network that they're still in the midst of doing upgrades, of course, at a volunteer's pace. That doesn't mean it happens overnight. It's a little bit faster than the construction on Interstate 385, which has been, 7 years and still hasn't been done. It took them more than 7 years. Now they have to take them 9 years to finish this little project that other places in the country would have only taken about, you know, 3 months or something. At any rate, we have some things going on, or the Tyranny Response Network has let me know that they are improving the signal quality, and once again, if you're just patient, they will have you loud and clear again in Greenville as soon as possible. Other parts of Greenville, the east side and Simpsonville and other places that were not being heard before, now all being heard, as well as the Piedmont, Williamston area of the upstate, Powdersville. We're glad that all the message is being broadcast so far and wide. And as I understand it, in the next few weeks, they have plans to actually go even to further other places that are not currently being reached on the FM airway. So just a note from them to be patient. If you want to help us or help the Tyranny Response Network, you can do so simply by going to the policyofliberty.net homepage and clicking on the donate button, because they're in need of cash, especially right now, because we have a person who's pledged to match anything up to a certain dollar amount that is given this week before Thursday at 4 o'clock. So we have a kind donor that's willing to do that. If you're able to support the Tyranny Response Network, even with a small amount of money, it all adds up, folks. Go ahead and give us a small contribution to the Tyranny Response Network, and you'll be glad you did. You'll help promote the spread of liberty and help us, or help them, I should say, the Tyranny Response Network, get their signal even stronger so that it can be heard all over the upstate. That's one of the main goals right now. So at any rate, what else do we have on the news front headlines today? Anything of interest? No, never is usually too much. It's all the same kind of blather, it seems. Well, let's see what the research staff has sent us up today. Salvadoran gangster fights deportation. This is from Christina Bellatoni in the Washington Times. Federal immigration officials say it could take months to deport an MS-13 gang member who was acquitted of murder charges this week in Alexandria, near Washington, D.C., Virginia. Former part of the South, and now it's been appended basically to the North and the Yankee culture in Washington, D.C. So did you know Washington, D.C. was a southern city, by the way? It used to be. I mean, Maryland's a southern state. Delaware, that whole area is a southern state. Of course, Virginia. And yet this little 10-square-mile area seems to be much more like the Yankee land these days. I know they don't like that. They don't appreciate me saying that about that part of Virginia. But I did go to school, do my doctorate in the area, and it is very cosmopolitan, very Yankee-ish. It's not the same, unfortunately, as the rest of the South is anymore. Right outside of there it is, if you go down Lee Jackson Memorial Highway right through Northern Virginia, for instance. So it's right on the edge and may even be able to come back and be reunited to the South at some point. But for the moment, at any rate, it doesn't seem like much of a southern city. To continue on with the story, two other gang members were found guilty of murdering a pregnant 17-year-old former member. Attorneys for Garcia Orellana, who have been in the United States since 1998, argue that his testimony puts him at risk of assassination if he is deported. Ooh. A federal jury last week acquitted Garcia Orellana and Dennis Rivera, who prosecutors said masterminded Brenda Paz's murder. Miss Paz was to have testified at another murder trial for Rivera, who was in prison at the time of her death. MS-13 is also known as Mara Salvatrucha, is the largest and most violent gang in Northern Virginia. So we have gang violence going on there now near the state, near the capital city of the United States. And this MS-13 is a dangerous gang, and people are getting away with murder, apparently. Of course, that happens all over the place. I mean, look at George W. Bush. Look at him getting away with murder. Now, who's prosecuting him for what he's been doing? Yes, I know there are others here, like MS-13, but we see murder rampant just about everywhere, don't we? Especially caused by states. And one of the articles that I've written, my latest article, is The Divine Ordination of State Criminals. Caused a lot of controversy. You might want to go to the policyofliberty.net website and check that out. But think about that, folks. We talked a little bit about it yesterday. Does God ordain criminals? Yes, I think he does. Does God ordain state criminals? Yes, by all means. He ordains all things. He can use it for his purpose, even though it's very grievous and something we have to oppose in as much as it is immoral and wrong in the world. Maybe it's a means that God uses for our sanctification, for our testing. But it's a shame when Christians stand by and allow evil to persist when they should be pursuing what is good and trying to transform their world. And you're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back in just a minute.
Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Giving money and power to government is like giving whiskey and car keys to teenage boys. P.J. O'Rourke.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is, non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NPPros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, P-R-O-S as in professionals, your non-profit professionals, that's NPPros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
I would rather be exposed to the inconveniences attending too much liberty than to those attending too small a degree of it. Thomas Jefferson.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
And this morning we're trying to provide just that. Just a reminder, yesterday at one of the meetings, I think it was the Americans for Constitutional Government meeting, I ran into Dr. Stephen Yates and asked him if he wouldn't mind coming on the air with us today to talk about the evils of the Free Trade Agreement of the Americas. There's going to be a meeting about that at Denny's tonight. And so hopefully we'll be joined by Dr. Yates just after the top of the hour, so you can be expecting to hear something good out of good from him today. Looking forward to having a conversation with him. A couple things also to remind you about. Tonight, there is people are calling for some emergency action here in South Carolina in the upstate, as there is a Rails to Trails conversion meeting in Travelers Rest tonight from 6 to 8 p.m. It's at the Travelers Rest United Methodist Church. I know it conflicts with the Free Trade of the America or Stop the FTAA.org meeting, or Stop the FTAA meeting at Denny's on Wade Hampton. But apparently the environmentalists and socialists are up in making a frontal assault against property rights in this area, and been asked to advise anyone who possibly can to go and stand in opposition to Vision 2025 and these other liberal leaders in Greenville, the Greenville County area, to go up to the Rails to Trails conversion meeting in Travelers Rest tonight. That's going to be at the Travelers Rest United Methodist Church from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. on May 24th. That's today, May 24th, 2005. Also want to remind you that we have the League of the South meeting this Thursday. Yours truly will be speaking there at the League of the South Prime Sirloin on Thursday evening. I hope you can attend that at the just across from the Greenville Mall. The Libertarian Party has a meeting up in Spartanburg. Be sure to check our webpage if you need to try to meet with the Upstate Libertarian Society in Spartanburg. This evening, tomorrow night, they'll be meeting at the Coffee Underground in Greenville from 6 o'clock till 8, or sorry, excuse me, starting at 8 o'clock in the evening on May 25th. And be sure to support the Times-Examiner. This is a struggling paper, yet a paper that promotes our ideas. They promote ideas that are not ours, too, at times. There's some neocons still in there and some folks which are a little bit left, I guess you could say, of us. It's pretty easy to do when you're so far right. But at any rate, the Times-Examiner, you can subscribe to that thing for $25 a year, $27 a year out of state. Phone number there is 864-268-0576, 864-268-0576. Great columnist, Walter Williams, Thomas Sowell, yours truly, John Coben, Ben Graydon, Stephen Yates, Charlie Reese, Joseph Sobrin, lots of great columnists to read, as well as a conservative slant on the news in the upstate of South Carolina. Hope you can get a subscription to this, and if you have an opportunity to place an ad there, hope you can do that as well. 864-268-0576. Just ask for Bob. Well, senators are proposing to repeal the tax trap for middle class, is what the Associated Press is reporting today. Even though it would deprive the government of billions of dollars in revenue, four senators, two Republicans and two Democrats, including leaders of the Senate Finance Committee, plan to introduce a $611 bill this week that would repeal the tax. Well, isn't that going to be interesting? Alternative minimum tax would be repealed. The only object of the tax, growing reach and burden it puts on unsuspecting taxpayers, higher tax rates and fewer tax breaks. Congress created the tax in 1969 after discovering that 155 wealthy filers had not paid taxes. At that time, lawmakers estimated the tax could affect none of the 500,000 taxpayers. As a result of inflation, an increasing number of taxpayers are covered by the tax. The CBO also said a tax no longer fulfills its original mission to ensure that the wealthiest pay some tax. Mr. Baucus called the tax that no one in their right mind would devise. It is time for the major overhaul of the AMT. The options for a major overhaul all come at a high price, particularly at times soaring budget deficits. The repeal of the bill would deprive the government of $600 billion over a decade. Oh, poor federal government. They might actually have to cut spending if they did that. Well, I'll tell you what, the AMT is an evil tax, but the whole income tax itself has been called into question as being even a valid tax as far as, not being called into question for its validity, it's called into question for its application. Many people who do not receive privileged income, according to Peter Hendrickson, and others, even people who have been on the show recently, have doubted and disputed whether or not people who actually pay income taxes really should be paying them, because they have not received privileged income. Perhaps they don't actually owe anything and they're paying it by mistake. They're declaring under penalties of perjury when they sign this form that they really have this privileged income when they really don't. There have been some questions about, from the We the People organization, questions about whether or not it's even necessary to file a 1040 form. Now, I know this kind of talk makes people a little bit scared, a little bit edgy, but there's a great deal of reason to believe that we do not have such an obligation as Christians to do so in this country. Now, this raises an interesting point, because Paul, obviously, and the Apostle Well, but specifically, the Apostle Paul in Romans 13 says, therefore you pay taxes, render under all your due, taxes to whom taxes, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. The Apostle Peter joining in with that idea. Well, are these taxes something that are due as Americans? Well, this is an interesting question that needs to be answered. It doesn't seem like, or it seems like the case can be made that there is not, and we, of course, would leave it to liberty of conscience of each individual to decide if what he is doing is right in regard to tax payments and so forth. If you have a question or about these taxes and these issues like this, we would be glad to hear from you this morning. Remember to use the backup line, 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Disinfecting the modern mainstream media, Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Just because you do not take an interest in politics doesn't mean politics won't take an interest in you. Pericles.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain speaking. We want to thank you for flying TRN Airways. Now, if you'll just look out of your left side window, you can see the dense clouds of liberal lunacy commonly polluting the airwaves. On the right side, you can see clear skies full of common sense, liberty-minded conversation. Now, as we enter the Christian worldview airspace, we'll be experiencing clear-headed thinking and will soon be reaching logical conclusions. Feel free to recline your seat and enjoy the remainder of the flight. And thank you for flying TRN Airways.
The worst crime against working people is a company which fails to operate at a profit. Samuel Gompers.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net, that's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
Oh, and we love to do that here. Are you tired of politicians who raise taxes, invade your privacy, and assume that you do not have the sense to make your own decisions? Try voting libertarian for a change. Would you like to meet other libertarians? You'll find they are regular people like you, concerned about the state of our republic and willing to act on that concern. Our business meeting is at 6:30 p.m. the second Thursday of the month at the Prime Sirloin on Woodruff Road across from Greenville Mall. Visitors are welcome. That'll be next week, I believe. Or no, not next week. They'll follow a couple weeks after that. To talk politics, join us for the meetup at 8 p.m. the fourth Wednesday of the month, and that is tomorrow night. It's at Cafe Underground just off of Main Street downtown. We would love to swap ideas with you for restoring limited constitutional government. Thank you for supporting the Libertarian Party and Christian Worldview on the Tyranny Response Network, and we do appreciate your support as the Libertarian Party. Now, just a reminder, we have some really exciting things going on here at Christian Worldview. We have Rip and Richie Williams, who should be joining us this Friday, once again on the Christian Worldview as my co-host, hopefully going to be starting his own show along with Mr. Bob Llewellyn. Now, Bob Llewellyn, being a former Libertarian Party chairman in Pennsylvania, has moved back south and has rejected the Yankee lifestyle and rejected the big state, statist ideas of the North to join the ranks of Southerners here. And he and Richie do not agree on everything. They differ on points of religion. They differ on points here and there on public policy issues. And they're going to be having an afternoon talk show, hopefully, starting as soon as next Wednesday, June the 1st, or that might be a little soon. Might end up being more like June the 6th. And so these folks, you'd be looking for an afternoon show to begin on the Tyranny Response Network as you're driving home. Know you love listening to the recordings of the Christian Worldview show and past Christian Worldview shows and other great great speeches and things that the staff here can find to play for you. But I think an afternoon talk show is just a great idea. I'm glad that Rip and Richie and that Bob Llewellyn will be able to promote produce that kind of show for you. please direct your attention at some point today to tyrannyresponse.com. Tyrannyresponse.com is the Tyranny Response Network's website. You'll find there all sorts of events listed, related media, audio files. If you ever miss anything that's happened, if you ever miss anything that that was mentioned on the show about the phone numbers for Times Examiner, the meeting addresses for the Institute for the Constitution, things like that, it's all on the website. You can go there later on at tyrannyresponse.com and find out all the information you need to know. Policyofliberty.net is still my main webpage, obviously, and it contains links to my articles and papers. I would encourage you to, and books as well, I would encourage you to go to that website, peruse the information that's there, and if you can, get your hands on Bible and Government and some of the other papers that are being written and discussed, and start thinking deeper from a Christian policy issues perspective. For the last 10 weeks in the Times Examiner, there have appeared some pretty weighty articles, things that you have to have at least two cups of coffee, they say, before you can read them. One long series dealt on Christian views on rebellion, highlighting the American War for Independence. Last couple weeks, we had articles on Christian views of self-defense against state criminals and other criminals in general. Can we end up having self-defense? Well, the next couple weeks are going to deal with the divine ordination of states. What I'm trying to effectively do, folks, is go down that list of deep questions for Dr. Coben's radio show that you find on the homepage, Tyranny Response Network page, and go through that whole section of 20 questions week by week and answer those things for you, at least make an attempt at answering them. Why? Well, I want to stimulate thinking in the Christian community. I want you to be able to have a ready answer for some of the tough questions that will be proposed to you at some point in your life about what you're going to be doing in terms of public policy and applying economics to the Christian worldview. These are things that have been sorely lacking over the years, and because of that, the Christian church has become a milquetoast, a man-centered institution that has much fear of men and unwillingness to stand up, in my opinion, for the truth and for the principles that made our nation so great at one point. We have an opportunity, I think, to start something great here and take back, in a sense, our nation for the truth. And in order to do that, we have to be well-educated and informed on the principles of the Bible, how we correctly understand things that are written in Scripture, some very basic fundamentals that all people who are active in their worldview, whether it be a Christian Reconstructionist or a liberty of conscience point of view, can benefit from. And that's part of our goal with having the Tyranny Response Network, and especially this program, Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. So please be sure to go to tyrannyresponse.com as well as policyofliberty.net. Visit what's available there, check it out, and indulge yourself in deeper thinking so that you could be better prepared for the world around you. Now, we have a few other stories. We're coming up towards the 8 o'clock hour, and hopefully Stephen Yates will be calling in, but I wanted to try to get into a little bit about Chuck Baldwin's idea here. Maybe I have time to get through this. It's not too long. We always like reading Chuck Baldwin. He's a very interesting fellow, obviously. He's been on our show, and we're glad for his support of the Tyranny Response Network and Christian Worldview. Republican-appointed justices are seldom conservative, says Chuck Baldwin. In matters of substance and ideology, there really isn't much to get excited about between the two parties. There's not a whole lot of difference, says Chuck Baldwin. The idea that Bush is appointing conservative justice to the bench is just so much hot air. To my knowledge, the only true conservative justice being appointed by Bush is Priscilla Owen. The rest of Bush's judicial appointments includes Bill Pryor of Alabama. You remember Bill Pryor, don't you? He's the former Alabama attorney general who obtained his position, promising former Alabama Governor Phobe James and the voters of Alabama that he would support Judge Roy Moore's fight to display the Ten Commandments monument all the way. Then, after becoming Alabama Attorney General, Bill Pryor broke his promise to Governor James and the people of Alabama, became the lead prosecutor against Alabama Chief Justice Roy Moore, resulting in Moore's dismissal from office. Yes, we love lying politicians, don't we? We're not surprised by them, but we see them. They have a special place in our heart. Anyway, Pryor is not only a Judas, turncoat, and a liar, he's a judicial tyrant. Okay, well, why don't you mince your words a little bit more there? No, we like it. We like what you had to say. That's very good that Chuck Baldwin has taken that sort of stand. Continuing on in his article, he says, therefore, it is in the best interest of freedom and federalism that Bill Pryor not be granted a permanent seat on the federal judiciary. With every fiber of my being, I hope and pray that Democrats successfully block Pryor's appointment. I cannot think of a person more unqualified for the position of federal judge than Bill Pryor. To think that Bush, too, is going to stack the courts with true conservatives is only wishful thinking. The truth is, for every one liberal justice appointed by Democrats, we get three liberal justices appointed by Republicans. In other words, he skips on a little later, he says, with the exception of Priscilla Owen, it really doesn't matter to tinker a tinker's dam, whether, and that's D-A-M, that's, a tinker's dam's the stuff that falls off after you're soldering, right? I believe that's what it is. I learned that word only when I was in the South, by the way, lest people think I'm cursing. I'm using the word D-A-M, the tinker's dam, the off-scouring of the metal that results from soldering or welding. Whether President Bush's appointees are filibustered to death or actually seated on the bench. Okay. Appreciate Chuck Baldwin's comments this morning. We agree wholeheartedly. George Bush is not a true conservative. He's not appointing true conservatives to the bench. It's all so much smoke and mirrors, and it will result in nothing except more liberalism and more spread of the things that are against the truth. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We've got a break coming up, and we'll be back in just a few minutes.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
The only difference between a taxman and a taxidermist is that the taxidermist leaves the skin. Mark Twain.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben with Integrity Group. Why is it so difficult for Christians to be good stewards of their finances? We know that God works miracles in people's lives, but He has not chosen to provide manna from above to help us meet our needs as He did with the ancient Israelites. As Christians, we should be leading the way as good stewards. Since we do not spend money on vices like non-Christians do, we should be able to save more. We want to work hard and save our money so that we can have something to give to missions and to the needy. In addition, we want to regularly set aside a portion for retirement. Christians should not have to rely on taxpayer-funded government programs for retirement. No Christian wants to become a burden to their family or church during the ever-lengthening period of old age. At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. We are an independent financial planning firm. We specialize in finding creative custom solutions to meet your savings needs. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
Democracy must be something more than two wolves and a sheep voting on what to have for dinner. James Bovard.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177.
Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview. Here in the upstate of South Carolina, we currently have about 60 degrees, depending on where you are, give or take a point or two. And the high is going to be in the upper 70s today, so that translates probably to the mid-80s. But at any rate, it's going to be a beautiful spring day here in the upstate of South Carolina. Sunny skies. Look forward to the good weather and think about it while you're sitting in your cubicle, sipping coffee and looking at that computer screen all morning. Wonderful show on tap today. Hopefully, we're going to have hear from Dr. Stephen Yates if he's able to pull away from his current work schedule. He mentioned to me yesterday that he'd try to call into the show and talk to us a bit about the FTAA. There's a meeting tonight at Denny's to stop the FTAA on Wade Hampton Boulevard in Greenville. And we should know, as a Christian, something about these this awful trade agreement. This really has nothing to do with free trade and everything to do with renouncing American sovereignty. It has everything to do with globalism and instilling socialism and greater regulation of business. That's what this thing's about, and that's why it needs to be opposed, as well as the other trade agreements that Bush is promoting, like CAFTA, C-A-F-T-A, things like that. So we'll be looking forward to Stephen Yates calling shortly. In fact, my producer's telling me the phone is even ringing now, and we're going to go ahead and take this phone call. It may be Dr. Stephen Yates. We'd like to welcome you to the show. Who are we speaking with?
This is Dr. Stephen Yates.
You see, I always call it just right? I just was saying that we're expecting a call from you, and indeed we were. Welcome to the show this morning, Stephen. Glad you called.
Thanks.
We've just been talking a bit about, just been mentioning something about the evils of these agreements, the CAFTA and FTAA, and the meeting that's going to be this evening, and how these things deny American sovereignty or denigrate American sovereignty, as well as have nothing to do with free trade at all, and everything to do with socialism, globalism, expansion of regulation of business to the detriment of consumers. So that was the lead, and we've just been talking about that. Can you give us a rundown of your thinking on the CAFTA treaty in particular?
CAFTA. Well, first of all, in case anybody isn't familiar with the term, it stands for Central American Free Trade Agreement, and it's an intended expansion of NAFTA to six more Central American nations. Well, that includes, well, five Central American nations plus the Dominican Republic.
Okay.
And what's interesting about CAFTA is that prior to January of 2002, there was no such thing. Back in 1994, there was a group of global elites, as I like to call them, met in Miami at a confab called the Summit of the Americas. Mm-hmm. And President Bill Clinton was there, and I believe the first George Bush was there, and all the Dr. Henry Kissinger and David Rockefeller and the usual suspects were all in attendance. And they weren't talking about anything called CAFTA. They were talking about the Free Trade Area of the Americas, which was officially launched at that meeting, the FTAA, or FTAA, if
Stephen, that's been stalled, hasn't it now? They wanted to get that fast-tracked in January 2005, and people's voicing opposition to it effectively stalled it, at least for now, shelved it for a while. So they're going to CAFTA as sort of a secondary move.
Yeah, CAFTA is sort of, as far as I can tell, a sort of a fallback measure, which these guys will do if they start to encounter people dragging their feet. And, of course, with everybody online, it's impossible for the power elites to keep this sort of thing secret. So word got out and began to spread, and opposition at the grassroots level has continued to mount. So they backed off and introduced CAFTA. They had George W. Bush introduce CAFTA as sort of an intermediate step, but you're right. The original blueprint was to introduce the FTAA in January of this year, 2005. Was intended to be the year of introducing and implementing the FTAA. Now they're talking about, or we're talking about, having a vote on CAFTA before the end of this month, and a vote on the FTAA before the end of December. And it's starting to look like we're making a difference, because the vote on CAFTA doesn't look like it's going to happen, at least not this month.
Yeah, and they're going to they might push it off till July or something then. Just a couple. They're going to keep going after us, and they're not going to relent. They have unlimited resources, and they have a drive to promote their one world, new order, whatever the thing's called, the globalist strategy. And so they're not going to relent. It's just going to be a matter of delay and re-educate the following rats, following the Pied Piper, at least, to accept this sort of thing.
They're going to keep going after us. I think that much is true. One of the things, we were kicking this idea around yesterday, one of the things that we're afraid of is that they're going to try to sneak through a vote on CAFTA over the 4th of July holidays when everybody is off vacation and nobody's paying attention.
Yeah. Well, politicians, they wouldn't be that dirty, would they? Okay, we're kidding here. We believe that they would do such a diabolical thing. We would not be surprised. All right, well, so the main problem with CAFTA, and we're going to take a break for this. We're going to come back in a minute, Stephen, to talk about this. But the main problems with CAFTA are that they are undermining U.S. sovereignty, bringing us into the jurisdiction of other nations in the six or seven, actually include Mexico and Canada, so there'd be a total of nine nations, wouldn't there? And the sovereignty of the United States will be undermined, it'll be replaced with a globalist sort of strategy, a proposal to regulate business more, to increase tariffs more, and to essentially favor redistribution of wealth to other nations away from the United States. I think I've got that summary right, Steve. You can correct me if I'm wrong when we come back from the break. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be right back.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Giving money and power to government is like giving whiskey and car keys to teenage boys. P.J. O'Rourke.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is, non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NP Pros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, PROS, as in professionals, your nonprofit professionals. That's npros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
I would rather be exposed to the inconveniences attending too much liberty than to those attending too small a degree of it. Thomas Jefferson.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Joining me on the phone line again is Dr. Stephen Yates, who is a professor, PhD in philosophy, and a professor at the University of South Carolina Upstate in Spartanburg. And he's joined us today to talk to us about the CAFTA, Central America Free Trade Agreement, as well as the Free Trade Agreement of the Americas, the FTAA, as well as the meeting this evening at Denny's. So go ahead, Stephen, give us some more of the lowdown on this this crummy bill.
Okay, based on my own research, there seem to be roughly three reasons why we shouldn't do this, why we shouldn't get involved with this CAFTA thing any further. The first one, and the one that probably most people will be able to relate to the easiest, is that it's rather like its daddy, NAFTA, is going to be a job killer. Now, if the same arguments that are being used by Jim DeMint and others to try to sell the public on CAFTA, these are the same arguments that they used back in the early 90s to try to sell the public on NAFTA. And NAFTA, I recall reading somewhere, has resulted in the loss of some hundreds of thousands of American jobs, and it hasn't really benefited Mexico significantly. The idea was that it was going to increase prosperity in both nations, in Canada too. But instead, we have this huge influx of illegal immigrants from Mexico into this country. And when you think about it, why are they coming here? Because they can't find decent jobs, decent paying jobs down there. Well, if this was what NAFTA was supposed to do, was to increase job opportunities in Mexico as well as here, then it was a monumental flop, a monumental failure. And now the same arguments are being used to try to sell the country on CAFTA. Hmm. What NAFTA gave us was, H. Ross Perot put it, we all know that phrase he used, giant sucking sound.
Right.
Jobs going south of the border. Under CAFTA, you're going to see the same thing. You're going to see jobs going to further down into Central American countries for cheaper labor.
Hmm.
And then if they get the FTAA, which is more about the regional integration of 34 so-called democracies, that's been called NAFTA on steroids.
Mm-hmm.
And what many of us are afraid you're going to be looking at is seeing the United States become a world nation within 10 to 15 years. So all of that's really the first argument, that it's a major job killer and will hurt the U.S. economy terribly.
Stephen, just before you go on to the next one, again, coming from a libertarian perspective, I have some questions about how deeply I want to be concerned about the job loss prescription. But just since you threw out the number, I'm just wondering if you have follow-up data on it's 200,000 jobs lost to Mexico over the last 10, 12 years, 15 years. What happened to the displaced workers? Are they still unemployed here in America, or do you think that they found jobs elsewhere?
Let's see. You were breaking up a little bit at one point there. I didn't quite get all of that. I have some data here somewhere that's more specific.
Well, yeah, let me repeat the question. The 200,000 jobs that were lost under NAFTA, supposedly in the last, say, 12 or 15 years, what happened to those workers who were displaced? Did they remain unemployed, or were they able to find other jobs at least the same pay or better pay? Do you know anything about what happened to the displaced workers?
Several things happened to them. Some of them still are unemployed. Some of them retrained or retooled for other occupations. And most of those other occupations, though, involved jobs that paid considerably less than what they were making. And we've had the much-touted shift from a fundamentally manufacturing-type society towards the service sector, or so-called service industries. Waiters, waitresses, pizza deliverers, temp workers, people working in call centers, things like that. None of those jobs pay very well, but those are the lion's share of the jobs that have been created since NAFTA went into effect. Well, Paul Craig Roberts is an author and economist who routinely collects a lot of data on job creation, and he has an article appeared on the website vdare.com where he gives us some breakdown on job creation. For example, I think like April, there was the Bush administration and the government announced that there were something like 256,000 jobs created during the month of April, and they touted this as evidence of an improving economy. Well, Paul Craig Roberts argues that and present some of the breakdown that approximately 211,000 of those jobs were in this low-paying service sector.
Okay, so
that's the job market since NAFTA.
Yeah, now you're talking specifically about things like textiles, and what else would have gone to Mexico? It's an interesting question because they aren't necessarily, we know they're not as productive as American workers and not as well trained. So what jobs could they have gotten other than the very low-hanging fruit, the lower-quality jobs that were probably unionized, may not have been, here in the United States, and therefore had an artificially high wage on account of the union? That's an interesting economic point. And I'm asking the question. I don't necessarily have the answer to this, But theoretically, I would think that those people, and by and large, would have been able to go to other jobs and be retrained and actually do better now than they did before. Now, I don't know if that's the case. They may truly be worse off, and then mass still may have more than 5% of them still unemployed and so forth. This may be. I don't know. But any time you have a major transitional shift in economics, when you move away from using horse-drawn carriages to automobiles, for instance, you have an enormous displacement of workers, people requiring to be retrained and so forth. This is not an abnormal thing to happen, even in the free market. So this artificial force by the state to do this may have completely different effects, and that's why I was asking the question.
Yeah, but the term that the economist Schumpeter used was creative destruction, which was a feature of a capitalistic economic system. You know, in a sense, this has happened before when we've had major shifts of technology. You mentioned the adoption of the automobile, but the difference is whether or not this shift is occurring spontaneously or by itself, or whether it's being guided, directed by a power elite, by a global elite.
Well, that is a very good question, and the other side of that is maybe there would have been the shift without the government protectionist plan in place in the first place. So you could say, well, it's not really an artificial move. It's just a removal of something that was artificial to begin with. It's an interesting question. I don't have the answer to right offhand. But if you're removing away the state from protecting people, it may be for the better than having the consumers pay for the social welfare loss, we'd say, in
right. It is a mixture. Because
right.
We did have a lot of changes in technology. We did have the adoption of the internet and the
right.
World Wide Web, for example, and that was fairly spontaneous.
Right.
But we also have this this behind the scenes move towards regional integration, mm-hmm. towards globalism.
Oh, Stephen, these are excellent points. This is, you only covered point number one. We've got to run to a quick break, and we come back and give us your two other points, so we don't get belabored just on this single one. We'll be right back. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Disinfecting the modern mainstream media. Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Just because you do not take an interest in politics doesn't mean politics won't take an interest in you. Pericles.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain speaking. We want to thank you for flying TRN Airways. Now, if you'll just look out of your left side window, you can see the dense clouds of liberal lunacy commonly polluting the airwaves. On the right side, you can see clear skies full of common sense, liberty-minded conversation. Now, as we enter the Christian worldview airspace, we'll be experiencing clear-headed thinking, and we'll soon be reaching logical conclusions. Feel free to recline your seat and enjoy the remainder of the flight. And thank you for flying TRN Airways.
The worst crime against working people is a company which fails to operate at a profit. Samuel Gompers.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And we're back with Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Online with us, Dr. Stephen Yates, who's been gracious enough to join us this morning. I'd take out a half hour of his busy schedule to call in and tell us about the evils of CAFTA and the FTAA. Meeting tonight, isn't that right, Stephen, at the Denny's restaurant on Wade Hampton Boulevard with a new film.
A meeting of our organization, Citizens Committee to Stop the FTAA, the South Carolina chapter, which is meeting at the Denny's on Wade Hampton Boulevard, going out of town away from Greenville, and 6 o'clock in order to eat there, which obviously is desirable since Denny's is gone out on a limb for us. But the meeting itself will begin at 7, and going to watch a movie entitled "The FTAA Stepping Stone Towards World Government."
Hmm, that sounds, and that's a new one. People who have seen the first one or two that were put out have not seen this one. This is a brand new film, right?
This is a new film. Hasn't been shown in this area before.
Great. Well, that'll be definitely worth going to. Hope some listeners can get out this evening to the Stop the FTAA meeting at Denny's on Wade Hampton at 6 o'clock. Well, anyway, you have two other points you wanted to bring up about the about CAFTA that we need to hear about.
Well, yes. The job losses argument is really secondary towards what many of us have concluded is the real goal of CAFTA and the FTAA. CAFTA's own preamble states that it's a stepping stone to the FTAA, the Free Trade Area of the Americas. And the Free Trade Area of the Americas is more about regional integration than it is about trade. The argument being that arguments about trade are really just a pretext towards what the globalists really want, which is first economic integration. Get different nations, different regions dependent on one another economically, and use that as a pretext towards increasing legal and political integration. The long-term strategy being to create a Western hemispheric megastate modeled on the European Union. In fact, Mexico's president, Vicente Fox, has stated openly that this is his aspiration.
Yes.
To have a Western hemispheric megastate, and which would mean the end of whatever is left of our constitutional republic.
Hmm.
Now, we've already had cases of international tribunals created by NAFTA passing judgment on U.S. court decisions, and we've had cases where the World Trade Organization has intervened and passed judgments on decisions by American-based companies.
Hmm.
I would recommend going to the New Americans website, www.thenewamerican.com, and reading an article called "The WTO Trap."
Yeah, a lot of Americans.
Several cases of these.
Yeah, a lot of Americans don't realize that there was a tribunal, a court system set up under NAFTA, which now has superior jurisdiction over all sorts of trade issues. And there are several of these courts in America, just little known, their authority and power and reach. And CAFTA, FTAA will vastly expand these things as well.
Yes, it's called the Chapter 11 of NAFTA.
Hmm.
And this was given no consideration or discussion when it was passed in 1993. And I have a quote here from none other than Senator John Kerry of Massachusetts.
Huh.
When we debated NAFTA, not a single word was uttered in discussing Chapter 11. Why? Because we didn't know how this provision would play out. No one really knew just how high the stakes would get.
Yeah.
So, back in 1993, they made a decision, the bureaucrats did, and the politicians, without knowing how it would play out. That's not the principles on which this country was founded.
That's for sure. Or
principle of unlimited government, of unlimited, indefinitely expanding bureaucracy.
Or one wonders if someone really did know what it would all mean behind the scenes and just kind of swept it under the rug. Even John Kerry might have been duped, but I sort of doubt it. He's part of this power elite himself, along with the Bushes. But at any rate, continue, please.
It could go either way on that point.
Yes.
But anyway, the third point is good, easier to get through quickly. Based on their procedures, based on what we've seen, we cannot really trust these people.
Okay. Yes, go ahead. We don't trust them. You're right. Continue.
Should do what it takes to, including writing senators, writing our representatives, calling them if that's within your comfort zone, getting them on the phone and telling them that you're representing us, we the people, Mm-hmm. And this is what we want you to do. We want you to vote against CAFTA.
Now, we have an evangelical member of a church who is a senator named Jim DeMint. I think he's a member of Mitchell Road Presbyterian Church, which is renowned for its supposedly being one of the true Orthodox conservative churches here in the upstate. And yet this guy is all in favor of the FTAA and CAFTA, is he not, as well as recently voted for the national ID card? He's not supporting the principles of the founders, as far as I can tell, and he's certainly not supporting the Christian worldview. Don't you agree? I mean, isn't this CAFTA thing opposed to what we think should be right?
I would think so. I'm not altogether sure what to make of DeMint. Whether he's just a total careerist who's going to do whatever the Bush administration does, is going to follow the Bush administration to the letter on every point, because maybe he sees it as a good career move. Maybe he actually believes what he's writing. I can't tell.
Yeah.
Of course, there's always a danger of trying to get inside these people's heads.
Yeah, it would be. It'd be a true matrix without any once you get in.
From the standpoint of the Christian worldview, there's something that about all of this that has, how should I say it? It's given me a few sleepless nights in any regard. If you look at Revelation and you look at any other, not the book of Daniel and any other number of places, you do see reasonably specific prophecies of things going on at the end times. And one of these, at least the way I interpret it, looks very much like the rise to power of some kind of a world government, of something of the rise of Babylon or the new Babylon.
Mm-hmm.
And I find myself wondering, is it even God's will that we're able to stop this thing?
Right. Well, that's interesting. If you have a premillennial eschatological point of view, you might actually conclude then that this is what God has ordained to end, and let him come. You know, but that's an interesting thought.
Yeah, I know Christians who believe that. I can't believe that God wants us to sit back and do nothing.
Yeah, I don't.
Nobody knows the day or the hour.
Well, I agree with you.
We don't know what God's timetable is.
And we've been hearing people for the last 25 years talking about this being the year, it's almost over and so forth, and it hasn't been. And we need to occupy until he comes, no matter what our eschatological position is.
Right, and there are things we can do to minimize the damage.
Yes.
And again, I believe with this CAFTA thing that we are making a dent. But one other thing to note is that if the globalists do not get CAFTA and do not get the FTAA this year, they certainly have it within their power to retaliate. There's at least a chance that the economy could go into a deep recession in 2006 and 2007, and they would blame us, the people who fought CAFTA.
Yeah, well, that's an interesting secondary strategy for them. Well, Stephen, we've actually run out of time for this 30 minutes. If there's more that needs to be said, you're welcome to stay on after the main break, but I know you said you had to go.
Yes, I have to be in Spartanburg.
Well, we really appreciate you joining us here, and we hope you'll call again real soon. And folks, if you want to go out and meet Dr. Yates, the time to do it is tonight at Wade Hampton Boulevard's Denny's Restaurant in Greenville at 6 o'clock for dinner, and then afterward for the Stop the FTAA or Stop CAFTA movement tonight, and with the new video there. What's the name of that film, Stephen, once again?
I believe the name of the film is The FTAA, Stepping Stone World Government.
Okay.
I don't have the data in front of me, so that might not be exact, but that's in the ballpark.
All right, sounds real interesting. Well, once again, thanks so much for joining us on Christian Worldview. We look forward to having you back again real soon.
Sure. Now, thank you for inviting me.
Okay. Talk to you later. And you're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coburn. A little bit late for a break, but we're going to go take one now, and we'll be back in just a few minutes.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
The only difference between a taxman and a taxidermist is that the taxidermist leaves the skin. Mark Twain.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben with Integrity Group. Why is it so difficult for Christians to be good stewards of their finances? We know that God works miracles in people's lives, but He has not chosen to provide manna from above to help us meet our needs as He did with the ancient Israelites. As Christians, we should be leading the way as good stewards. Since we do not spend money on vices like non-Christians do, we should be able to save more. We want to work hard and save our money so that we can have something to give to missions and to the needy. In addition, we want to regularly set aside a portion for retirement. Christians should not have to rely on taxpayer-funded government programs for retirement. No Christian wants to become a burden to their family or church during the ever-lengthening period of old age. At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. We are an independent financial planning firm. We specialize in finding creative custom solutions to meet your savings needs. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
Democracy must be something more than two wolves and a sheep voting on what to have for dinner. James Bovard.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177.
Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschool children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Currently in the upstate of South Carolina, we're in the mid to upper 60s, going to get up to around the upper 70s today. That's what they're telling us. Planned for 85, but a beautiful sunny day. So it should be a wonderful time weather-wise here in the upstate of South Carolina. Of course, for those of us who sit behind desks and look at computer screens all day, we don't get to necessarily enjoy that weather, but at least we can know it's out there if we wanted to ever take a stroll during the lunch break or hour or whatnot. If you're making your way to work, no weather worries today, that's for sure. I appreciate Dr. Stephen Yates being on during the last hour to telling us about the crummy bill trying to get through Congress now, the CAFTA bill. It's a globalist bill trying to suck us into undermine, I guess, the United States Constitution, our constitutional republic, and really damage the principles of the founders here in this country. Need to oppose that. There's a meeting at Denny's tonight on Wade Hampton Boulevard. You want to make sure you attend that if you possibly can. There is an emergency meeting, however, that's needed. I've been asked to advise folks. The Rails to Trails conversion meeting is going on at the Travelers Rest United Methodist Church tonight from 6 to 8 p.m. We want to make sure that you attend that if you can. So there's a conflict of meetings. Some people want to go to the Denny's meeting and watch the new film there against CAFTA, but apparently the environmentalist socialist groups have put together this meeting at the Travelers Rest United Methodist Church, then someone needs to oppose this. It's leadership, Greenville and Vision 2000, or 2025 are sponsoring it, as well as a number of others from the Augusta Street leftist crowd here in the upstate. And if we're going to make a difference locally, we need to also be in attendance at this meeting. So I know that some of you can't go, obviously we can't go to two places at once in one evening, but so if some people can also head up to this meeting, that would be very important to do so. Joyce Worthington had requested that, and she's of course been an advocate to let people realize what's going on with these sorts of things all the time here in the upstate. You need to be in touch with her if necessary. For those of you who are familiar with the whole program, you already know her contact information. She can give you greater details about this Rails to Trails conversion meeting tonight. Attend it if you can. Okay, a couple other announcements. It may interest you to know that there's a politically incorrect, uncensored monthly newspaper that sometimes publishes the Tyranny Response Unit's writing. It's called The First Freedom, and a supporter of this show, Nelson Waller, offers any of our listeners a free postpaid sample copy of it. Call Nelson at 864-642-4315 if interested. You can also sample this fine paper's material at www.gulftel.com/firstfreedom. It picks up where the liberal media leave off. And once again, if you miss any of the details about announcements here on the Tyranny Response Network, you can simply go to the website tyrannyresponse.com, and tyrannyresponse.com will allow you to get all those details, phone numbers, website addresses, and so forth that you might have missed while you were driving along and didn't have your pencil handy. Tyrannyresponse.com has all the data you need. Well, 7 more soldiers die in Iraqi blasts. So you just see that pop up on the Fox News headlines. Every day, virtually every day, someone else dies in Iraq. What a total disaster. Liberty does not reign there. We heard at the Americans for Constitutional Government that democracy, as it's so called, is not even spreading over there. We don't even have something, some semblance of a republic. It's not even close to that. They're going to go for some more elections later on this year. But, of course, this is a tragic time in Iraq brought upon that country by the imperial endeavors of George W. Bush and his insane war. And sad to say, every day we come to a Christian Worldview show, there's somebody else been killed, 60 soldiers, 16, 7, well, whatever the number is for that particular day, or untold numbers of civilians there in Iraq as the chaos continues in that country. What a shame. Well, we also have a couple of other interesting stories that the research staff sent up. I want to make sure we get to some of these. This one is especially interesting because it says, Center Lurk, from the desk of Gary Cass, executive director from the Center for Reclaiming America for Christ. He says, there's an epidemic in our houses of worship, and it's already having serious repercussions on every church-going person in the nation. Since 1954, courts have effectively prevented pastors from addressing their congregations on the critical moral, spiritual, and political issues of the day. It was in 1954 that then-Senator Lyndon B. Johnson passed legislation. How can a senator pass legislation? Anyway, giving the IRS power to muzzle free speech in our houses of worship. Today, lawyers and judges are using this law to stop religious leaders from taking a stand on any number of issues. With your help, that can change, removing the gag order. Right now, there is a move underway in Congress to lift this gag order on from our religious leaders. The Houses of Worship Free Speech Restoration Act, House Resolution 235, introduced by Republican Representative Walter B. Jones, a Republican from North Carolina, restores religious free exercise and free speech rights of churches and pastors by removing the threat of IRS retribution. Well, this is interesting. We can follow this with some interest. I'm not sure it will stand a chance of passing through the United States Congress, but nevertheless, it is interesting for us to note that it is going on up there. 501c3 is something that churches should have nothing to do with, and if they didn't have anything to do with 501c3, they wouldn't have these problems of governments regulating them and telling them what they can or cannot say. It doesn't really matter if the government tells you you can't do a certain thing at any rate. The fact is, if you're a Christian, you need to break the law when the government tells you to do something that's wicked. Whether it's to tell you to stop preaching on certain issues or stop telling people what God says, it doesn't really matter. You need to just stand up and say, I don't care if you're the government or the state, if you didn't tell me to do something wicked, I'm not going to obey. Blah, 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 ha, 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 no chance. And go about obeying God instead and being principled. So people who actually believe they have to have the government's approval for churches are really making a grave mistake. Well, we're trying to get back a little bit towards our break schedule, so I'm going to, because we ran over with Dr. Yates on the last half hour, you're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coburn. We'll be back in just a minute.
It is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Giving money and power to government is like giving whiskey and car keys to teenage boys. P.J. O'Rourke.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. simply go to our website, NPPros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, P-R-O-S as in professionals, your nonprofit professionals, that's NPPros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
I would rather be exposed to the inconveniences attending too much liberty than to those attending too small a degree of it. Thomas Jefferson.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
And just a reminder, this week we're using the backup phone line, 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, rather than the one the recording just told you about. Well, LouRockwell.com has lots of interesting articles all the time. If you don't go to LouRockwell.com, you're missing a real treat. And our research staff loves going to the LouRockwell.com website and pulling up little jewels here and there. Lawrence Vance has just published a piece on there called The Christianity of George W.M.D. Bush. So instead of calling him just W, we call him George Weapons of Mass Destruction Bush. That's cute. Anyway, he's got a little symbol on here that shows a little fish sign that says One Nation Under God, you know, the fish symbol that decides if you are, or designates you as a Christian. Well, in the middle of this, it has some red and white stripes, and it says Bush in big letters. So he's mocking George W. Bush a little bit here. And at the end of this article, he talks about basically the difference between Republican and Democratic politics, and especially how Christians should be promoting some of the ideas that Democrats hold. For instance, some of their war stances, especially this war in Iraq one, have been right on the money from a Christian worldview point of view, rather than the Republican view held by George W. Bush. And so he asked a question right at the end. He says, so why doesn't the religious right follow Carter on the war issue instead of Bush? Simple. Carter is a Democrat and Bush is a Republican. The religious right is in bed with the Republican Party and is enjoying the affair. But what is this but a case of spiritual adultery? God deliver us from the defective Christianity of George Weapons of Mass Destruction Bush. And we agree with him entirely here at Christian Worldview. I do not see anything in George W. Bush's actions that would lead me to believe that the man is truly converted and truly following after the principles of God's word in trying to establish justice and righteousness or uphold even the principles of pluralism upheld by our founding fathers. He is not the man of the hour as far as the religious right is concerned, or should not be, as far as the religious right is concerned, especially those who are on the hard right who really believe that change can occur through government to actually enforce or impose some of God's law on people. The furthest thing from that is happening. Lip service has been given to it, but George W. Bush is not carrying forward with a Christian ideal. Now, even from a liberty of conscience point of view, we have to say George W. Bush is very damaging, because not only does he not promote what Theonomists would like, for instance, and having more of God's law installed, he is installing all sorts of anti-Christian laws and rules and promoting things which are wrong and undermine the heritage of this great land. The man basically qualifies, in my mind, as a traitor and nothing to do, and traitor both to Jesus Christ and as well to the American people. So those are pretty harsh words for the president, probably pretty shocking for you to hear me say such a thing, knowing that I'm such a far-right person myself. But all I can say is, if you believe George Bush is anything other than a left-leaning president who is a neoconservative at best, and one who is promoting globalism in this new world order, then you're making a mistake. You've been deluded by the mainstream media or by his rhetoric. Remember his little comments yesterday at Calvin College? We read those on the air, how he was just saying he was a master at rhetoric and he could get people to, you know, buy into whatever he's doing just by the artfulness of his tongue and his good speech writer. Well, that's what George W. Bush is all about. He likes getting votes. He likes getting power. He doesn't really care about the principles that are of concern to us. We need to stop right now our support for this man and vote and go for principle instead. Got other pragmatic officials in office, people that are undermining the truth. Jim DeMint here in the upstate of South Carolina, or actually now statewide, as he's the senator for South Carolina. It's not working out well, as he's supporting the national ID. He's supporting George W. Bush and all his basically all his policies, just following along the career track apparently the Republican Party has set out for him. He's not doing well for Christians, and even though he professes to be a Christian, he seems to be more of a sellout, at least in my view. Well, here's another interesting story sent up by the by our famous production staff. He says, this important issue because a licensing racket is real and doesn't belong in America. Sure, having a license sounds good, but in reality, it's mostly just another way to separate you from your money and give power over others. Perfectly normal, but we must still forever battle it or live with the consequences of this. Man arrested for manicuring without a license. Michael Fisher, 23, of New Market, New Hampshire, has been arrested and charged with violating state law. What is a guy named Michael, age 23, doing manicures for, at any rate? Interesting. His crime, giving a manicure without a license. How would he know how to do a manicure? I mean, I wouldn't know. I mean, like most guys, you probably just get the fingernail cutters out and you clip them. I mean, maybe that's what he's doing for people, clipping their fingernails. I don't know. Fisher is a libertarian, good thing, and his arrest wasn't exactly unexpected. He had announced in advance that he would be giving an unlicensed manicure, and he invited the public and media to watch him commit his crime directly outside the State Board of Barbering, Cosmetology, Aesthetics Office, and Concord. Well, he began buffing the nails of fellow libertarian Cat Dillon for a token $1 fee. Outraged board members demanded he stop. When he refused, they called the police. He indicated he wouldn't stop. Police officer Roger Baker said so at that point it was a full custody arrest. Fisher's purpose was to protest the state licensing law and more broadly to protest the many other foolish and needless state laws that make it difficult or even impossible for many people to start or run a small business. Obtaining a manicure license requires 300 hours, yes, 300 hours of expensive training at government-accredited training school. Providing haircuts, tanning, massages, or similar services is also illegal without licensing. Yes, we are opposed to licensing laws. People under God have the right to work. They have a commandment to work and provide for the needs of their family members as well as themselves so that they wouldn't rely on the charity of others. And when government restricts their ability to work, they are violating the Word of God and the principles set forward in the Word of God, and they are doing wickedness and evil. So licensing is indeed a cruel, wicked, degenerate thing that the state is responsible for. Once again, our phone number, if you want to try to get a call in for the last segment, as we're coming up to that towards that last segment now, 864-201-6955 for today and this week, 864-201-6955. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be right back.
Disinfecting the modern mainstream media, Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Just because you do not take an interest in politics doesn't mean politics won't take an interest in you. Pericles.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain speaking. We want to thank you for flying TRN Airways. Now, if you'll just look out of your left side window, you can see the dense clouds of liberal lunacy commonly polluting the airwaves. On the right side, you can see clear skies full of common sense, liberty-minded conversation. Now, as we enter the Christian worldview airspace, we'll be experiencing clear-headed thinking and will soon be reaching logical conclusions. Feel free to recline your seat and enjoy the remainder of the flight. And thank you for flying TRN Airways.
The worst crime against working people is a company which fails to operate at a profit. Samuel Gompers. This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
If you have a question or a comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. 844-8177.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
The old republic has been swept away, but hope remains, says Anthony Gregory about Star Wars Episode III, Revenge of the Sith. Some people are really into this stuff. Many people, in fact, that I know around here like it. I like Star Wars to some extent. I kind of like science fiction, but the one thing that really bothers me about Roddenberry's story is there's no production in these movies. It's a pure communist style, futuristic utopian ideal that's being promoted. No one actually has to work. Food's just prepared for you out of thin air. And all that you have to do is cruise around in these big battleship things, spaceships, and promote democracy around the universe or something. So I don't like that. I like the special effects and the sort of the fun of the plot, but the whole philosophy behind it is bankrupt as far as I can tell. But at any rate, he says, this is, I'm reading Anthony Gregory's article here, just a few pieces that were sent up by the research staff. In both America and the Star Wars galaxy, it is a war over tariffs and secession that caused the Republic to defer all too much authority to the executive. Isn't that interesting? Skipping on, he says, one thing that needs to be remembered and kept in mind throughout the Star Wars series is that it is the good guys who fall for fake threats and fake crises the whole time, allowing the Imperial executive to take root and gain ground. Yes, we always do in this country do the same thing, don't we? You're either with me or my enemy, in the case of Anakin Skywalker. Either you're with us or you're with the terrorists, said George W. Bush. Excuse me. The dissolution of the Senate, of course, has not yet totally happened in America, although it parallels to some degree the ratification of the 17th Amendment in 1913, and the corresponding de facto elimination of the state as a body representative of the states. So he's making a strong parallel between what happened with Star Wars and what's going on with George W. Bush and the ruse. Keep that in mind if you happen to see the series, see if there's any parallels to the Bush administration. As Yoda might say, he closes his article, hopeful and determined, we must be. Good point. We want to always be hopeful and determined. Other interesting points from the research staff coming in today. We have an open letter to Fox News, Bill O'Reilly from the Libertarian Party. Dear Mr. O'Reilly, on a recent airing of your show, The O'Reilly Factor, you made a statement, I am not a Star Wars fan. I can tell a Wookiee from a Libertarian. While I appreciate the lighthearted comedic manner in which you were offering this observation, hopefully this letter will give you some much-needed insight into the array of people across the nation who are proud members of the Libertarian Party. While Democrats and Republicans constantly speak of freedom and liberty, their actions contradict their words. Libertarians believe in and work toward returning true freedom and liberty to people of this nation. It is not done through the extreme measures, as it starts with fewer taxes and smaller government, the same ideals once touted by Republicans who failed to deliver. Libertarians are guided by common sense principles and not far right or far left ideologies. It can be argued that the Libertarian Party is a rational conscience of the nation. Well, I have to agree with that so far, and probably will continue to agree with the rest. I'll read the rest here for you. The Libertarian Party is comprised of everyday Americans who share an extraordinary hope for America. We work hard, pay our taxes, love our families, and serve our nation. We are your bus drivers, doctors, secretaries, firemen, laborers, and executives. We all work together despite overwhelming odds to make the nation that we love and honor a better place for future generations. The Libertarian Party is not for everyone, even though it should be. You must be willing to think for yourself and not be guided by rhetoric for a daily set of talking points. Libertarians place their loyalty to their nation, their families, and themselves above the loyalty to a political party. We believe that in order to enact change, an individual must lead, not be led. This is a stark contrast to the two governing parties of this nation, who would rather carry an obedient membership instead of an empowered membership. The Libertarian Party is open to anyone who has a desire to rational thought to make this nation better. While we are admittedly the underdog in nearly every race in an action that we choose to enter, we do not quit. Our principles do not waver, and in defeat we will get back up and show again with determination in our hearts. Keep an eye on us, Mr. O'Reilly, because every once in a while an underdog becomes a champion. Best regard, Joe C. Hosen, National Executive Director from the Libertarian National Committee. Yes, we're not to be written off as Wookiees, that's for sure. We are those who hold the principle, very unlike people like Bill O'Reilly, who doesn't seem to have too many, or any of the other talking heads, as well as those who are in the mainstream political parties and have sold us out down the road on various issues. So, at any rate, what else do we have from the research staff today? Hopefully I have so much of a backlog coming back from stuff, I'm not going to even begin to start this. It's just too late in the show. When we had Rip and Richie on a while back, we ended up with a backlog of great research that was done. I haven't been able to get a chance to get to it all yet. We'll try to do that and catch up as the week goes on here. No need to rush into it right now. Just to remind you again that policyofliberty.net has a new donation button for those of you who want to be able to contribute $5, $10, or even more, $100. We need some funding right now to get our transmission equipment up and running at a better level, especially if you can make a contribution before 4 o'clock this Thursday, up to a certain specified amount. Someone who's a faithful supporter of TRN has offered to match any contributions that are made. So go to the policyofliberty.net website and click on that button that allows you to donate through PayPal and make a contribution to the Tyranny Response Network today. We'll really appreciate the help as we try to expand the truth and the principles of liberty from a Christian worldview through our show here. Also want to encourage you to visit the tyrannyresponse.com website as it continues to get better, and see all the things that are there. If you missed any of the announcements on the show about the events that are upcoming, please go to that website. You'll find them all, or most of them, at any rate, listed there. You've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Glad you've joined us today, and we look forward to seeing you again tomorrow here on the Tyranny Response Network. Until then, God bless you.
You've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben on TRN. Join us again tomorrow morning right here at 97.7 FM on the Tyranny Response Network for Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben with Integrity Group.
Let's